We will remember you and pray for you. God will bless in this area and save souls and build up the assembly and add to it. All right now. We closed off at verse 1. That's all we went into, but I will just read a few of these verses again. And Solomon, verse 2. Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his servants and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also in their apparel, and as the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came. Until I came. My, we can all say that, can't we? It wasn't until we came that God really revealed to us the wonders of life transformed and the wonders of a hope beyond this scene. It took the work of God in our souls to give us that appreciation. And so on. Now, that's all I'm going to read just for the sake of time, and we will refer to other scriptures perhaps as we go. And so, I would like you to notice there, in verse 3, a statement that was made, verse 2. I want you to notice what it said there, specifically. It says, and Solomon told her all her questions. And it is wonderful to think, brethren, that when there are questions in our minds, especially about spiritual things, perhaps this book and certain parts of it, certain portions of it, are closed to us. We can't understand what it's talking about. Certain sentences baffle our minds, and we are lost, and we just say, well, I don't understand. Well, you know, it's wonderful how that when we come to the Lord and ask the Lord, as in this case, here's this poor pagan woman, and for the first time, she's in touch with Solomon. And you know, it says that Solomon told her all her questions. She had many questions, no doubt. She wanted to know many things about Solomon. And so she speaks to Solomon, asks him, and you know, Solomon told her all her questions. He answered her questions. And so it is with the Lord Jesus, if we come on our bended knee to him, and you know, spend a little time on our knees in prayer. It's wonderful how God will open his word and reveal the truths of his word to our souls. And we can often, we can rise from our knees with real joy in our hearts and say, well, Lord, I see what you mean. I understand it. Now, she had that experience. And brethren, I'm convinced that you too can have that experience at any time if you want to ask our Solomon any question. He is well able to answer those questions. Now, mind you, I have to confess, I wrote a letter just a short time ago to somebody, and I said, some of the problems I see in the assemblies, I don't think even Solomon could even answer all the questions and solve the problems any more than I, certainly far beyond me. If he couldn't, I knew I couldn't, and I knew perhaps Solomon couldn't either. But you know, it's wonderful how the Lord can meet the need. Now, again, it says also in that same verse that there was nothing hid from Solomon. Now, I am convinced, brethren and sisters, in our lives as individuals, if we're going to be happy in divine things, we must confess sin. There must be acknowledgement to the Lord of error in our lives. We can't go on with things in our lives and expect God to speak to us. We need to confess our sin. And I realize, I believe that's what's meant here. There was nothing that was hid from Solomon. She did not withhold anything from him. She spoke to him and she told him of her problems. And she realized that she had to be open and clear before him before he would draw near to her. And you know, that's true with us, brethren. If we want to be happy in the things of God, we need to get down before our Lord and confess our sin whenever we have problems and things that we have done that are not in harmony with himself. We need to confess before Him and tell Him things that the Lord should know, that should hear from our souls. I don't believe that we, if everything that we've done in our own lives, we can go around and talk to our brethren about all these things. But I believe we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And there's one thing about Him, in that He is righteous, He will do the righteous thing with us. The Lord is gracious and kind to us, and He will not withhold blessing, and He will clear us from these difficulties that we have. He will restore communion and bring us back into fellowship with Himself. And she knew what that was. So let us just appreciate that little point about this dear woman. She was willing then, willing then to confess before Him. Now another thing that I would like you to see in verse 3 here, it says that when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, I want you to notice that she was a vigilant woman. She wanted to look at the house. Now may I say this, brethren? We as God's people in the assemblies, we need to look into the things of God in the assembly. We need to investigate and make sure that we value all the truths concerning the assembly of God. I feel this way in what I have seen in my little short life, that we need brethren that will take an interest in the assembly and participate in the assembly, take part in the assembly, and brethren, we open up the truths of God to other brethren in the assembly. You see, if we don't dig into the book, we're not going to have anything to rise and give to other brethren. And I believe in a multiplicity of participation in the assembly. I believe that, brethren. And I believe that as brethren in the assembly, we should be exercised before God to have something to give to our fellow brethren. You read your Bible at night sometimes, or perhaps in the mornings around the table, and God speaks to you and gives you a little bit of truth that just is a development or an opening up of divine order. And you see some revelation of the Lord Himself or some truth that's precious and is relevant to the assembly and relevant to the people of God. Then, brethren, I believe that each one has the right to get up and open up the scriptures and to open these things up to the other brethren. I believe that's divine order, and let's be exercised about it. Here's a woman, and if she's a picture of the church, and remember, every time you get a picture of a woman in the scripture, always think, first of all, is she, as a feminine, in the feminine gender, is she revealing some of the characteristics of the church of God? Because you see, the woman does that by the head covering, by her hair, by her silence, by her dress. She reveals to the Lord and to the people of God the order that she expects in the assembly. She's silent when she needs to be. Her head is covered. Her hair is long. And she allows these things to be expressive of divine order. The woman, God has given the woman the privilege of displaying that subjective position in the assembly of God. God has given the woman the privilege of doing that. And that's not man's place. We as brethren, as men, we're to take the counter side of things. If women are to be silent, brethren, then men are to be expressive and open up the truth of God. That's our responsibility. All of us. We can't expect the sisters to be silent and us silent too. We've got to open up things. So I'm suggesting to you, brethren, kindly and lovingly, keep at your book, and then when you come amongst the saints of God, have the liberty to get up and open up the scriptures and some little thing you've had. You can't leave it all to Brother Thickpen, and Brother Thickpen can't leave it all to you. But each one of you should have that responsibility and privilege and joy of just opening up and giving the saints a little bit that you have got. You see, she's a vigilant woman. She's been looking at the house. She enjoys the house. And she knows what it's all about. She saw the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built. My, when you think of the intricacies of the assembly, you know there's no company on earth like it. To think that here's a group of brethren and sisters that sit in a company, and those brethren in the company
are led by the Spirit of God to get up and give what God has given them. You can't go out in the denominations and have that bread. And the ecclesiastical systems of men, you are not allowed to get up. Why? You've got one man in charge and in control, and he displaces the divine leading of the Spirit of God amongst the brethren, because he takes it all. You brethren have to all of you feel the responsibility. Now, I'm only saying things that I've learned long years ago. Was taught these things in the assemblies in which I've been identified with for over 40 years. And we were challenged with the fact that we had a responsibility when we come amongst the saints to rise and give them a little bit of what we've been enjoying. And you'll only get it because you see some of these beauties. You can't give something if you're not reading the book or if you're not getting into the book yourself, brethren, can you? We've all got to be digging in the book to get something. But the assembly will only be what we make it if we get down to the book and open up things. Now, as I say, you've got to have that privilege and that responsibility of unfolding what you have gotten from your Bible. Don't be afraid to read it. And don't be afraid to rise amongst the saints. You'll always get room. And a man's gift makes room for itself. And if you've got something to give, I tell you, all the saints want to hear it. You can be sure of that. Wonderful how Christians, you know what, when I'm sitting in a company, that's why I like to hear Brother Brown there, Brother Ellen, get up and tell something. Because I want to learn from them some little precious thought that they have, that they have enjoyed, and something they've given. It thrills my soul and it helps me to speak the truth of God. And so, brethren, that's what you will do in the assembly. You'll help your fellow brethren, and you'll help them to enlarge in their capacity of divine things and develop and grow. And you'll see the blessing in the assembly. Now, you're going to suffer all these words of exhortation, aren't you, brethren? You take all this from me. And if you don't take it from me, well, I'll still forgive you anyhow. I still forgive you. But, you know, that's what I believe with all my heart. Now, she realized that Solomon had built the house. You see, brethren, if this assembly was built by man or planted by man, it's not of God. Not of God. And I am convinced that any assembly of God commences by a divine movement of God. I remember away in Dawson Creek in the northern British Columbia. My wife and I went into that country in 1957. We took the gospel up there. We went there. And it was a year from the time we were there that all of a sudden, and we went with a purpose of seeing the gospel preached and of men and women gathered unto the Lord's name. We wanted to see an assembly planted there. Now, what did we see? What we saw was men and women coming out of the woodwork, whom we had never seen before. Some that were saved and born again. And they would come and say, look, they say to me, Mr. Tracy, we have heard that you believe in gathering to the Lord's name. We have heard that you believe in the Lord's Supper every week. And you know, we see these things. We believe on the bread and the wine. And you know, we have never seen it practiced, but we see it in the Word, and we would like to practice these things. We would like to be in a company of believers like that. And you know, every day we would get down on our knees and pray that God would reveal to us material that would come out of the woodwork, out of the area, all around through the country, that would say, look, I want to see these things practiced. And you know, brethren, we saw those things take place. There weren't many big numbers, but you know, they would come, and then there'd be another one would come, and another one come, and another one come. And there was a company of believers that formed that first little assembly. And I remember the first time we sat down to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in an old barber shop. We sat there, and we saw that little company commence. And brethren, it only commenced by men and women with an exercise of soul. And each one of those brethren, and when they came together, they got up and they worshiped and thanked God. Some of them would rise and open up the scriptures and give you a little bit of something that they had enjoyed. Now, all of it wasn't just as orthodox as it might have been. But you know, I can always overlook anybody that's struggling and trying to give you what they've done. And so that was how we appreciated how the Lord built the assembly. You see, if it's built by men, brethren, it will not go on or operate. It just won't go. No matter what you do, it's got to be something that's planted of God. Every assembly must be planted of God. A system of men, you can plant it. A Reverend D.D. can come along and he can plant something. Because he's in control. And he runs the show.
And whatever's going to be done, it's got to be authorized by himself, and he's the one that's going to say.
Brethren, that's not the way it is in the assembly. Every brother dwells together in unity. Every brother unfolds what God has given.
Now I know there's such a thing as gift. I fully understand that. And there's ability. You can have gift and not exercise it. But a man, everyone's gift will develop as you go on. And you know, one should remember to consider the other brother, not to go ahead and take all the time. That's ridiculous. You can't take all the time and leave someone else out. You've got to remember others got something. And so, I simply point these things out to you. Here's a woman that she was vigilant. She's the picture of the subjective church viewing that house that is built that belongs to Solomon. Solomon is the center. Speaking of Christ, he is the one that has the predominance. He is the one that's the occupation of every heart. They're taken up with him. All right, now let's look at another. It says there she viewed his wisdom. It's interesting to realize how divinely inspired the Word of God is and how that these truths that we have, brethren, there is no truth that conflicts with the other. The Word of God is remarkably controlled and governed by the Holy Spirit of God, and there is no confliction in any truth. Wherever, for instance, that I've just been referring, it's only a small point, but if women are told to be silent, let your women keep silent in the church. The Scripture says that. But so likewise, the Scripture is very clear, on the other hand, to speak to the brethren, to partake and to participate and to be into the Word of God. And in every aspect of truth, there's a counterbalance. And everything is regulated and it's done by the divine power and control of the Spirit of God. If you have the Spirit of God functioning in the assembly, brethren, you could never get a greater blessing or a greater power than to see the liberty and the movement of the Spirit of God in the assembly. You can't get anything better than that. And you know, I always want to be in an assembly where the Spirit of God is giving brethren food and helping them to get up and give. I want to be in a company like that. And I appreciate any assembly that is so able to function in that way. So she views his wisdom and she views his house, the wisdom untold and the inexhaustible glories of that house. All right, now let's look at another thing in verse 4. Look at the meat of the table. What do you think of the meat of the table, brethren? Do you get enough meat off of that table? Well, that's just what I've been talking about, isn't it? The food and the word. And you know, it's necessary. I emphasize it again. I'm going to say it again, brethren. In any assembly, each one of you need to have food to give to the other. Every brother is dependent on the other brother to get a little food. Now you say, well, I just haven't got the capability that we would like. Well, you've got a wife, most of you, haven't you? Most of you have got a wife. Well, get your wife to help you dig into the book. And sometimes women, the sisters in the assembly, can give you a little thought. And they can help you with a passage of Scripture. And they know there's nothing wrong with you passing it on. The Lord didn't tell you that, doesn't forbid brethren from opening up some little thing that their wives have given them. So you see, we need each other we need to be helped of each other in order to get that food. It's important to get food. I really believe that what makes an assembly pulsate, what makes it appreciate, is when the food of God is coming out to the brethren. We need that food. And then another thing you notice, the sitting of his servants. Now that's an important thing. The sitting of his servants. Let me suggest to you this. That the sitting of God's people, there's a tremendous elevation to it. You remember in the gospel we're told how that when they came together, the Lord led them to the upper room. It was an elevated place. And the assembly is an elevated place, friend. I remember a dear brother, Robert McPhee from Scotland years ago, and I remember him telling how that the assembly of God is not on just street level, you know.
not just street level. We're in an elevated place. It's off of street level. The things that we're occupied with, the world around us, they don't know anything about it. And what we should be taken up with is the truth of God. We should be able to dwell on that and feed on it and multiply in our capability of feeding and looking into these wonderful treasures. So just keep in mind the setting, the elevation of the saints. My word, a blessed place. You can't get a better place than God's assembly, because I will say this. I don't care what system you go in, you're not at liberty to get up or participate or give anything that you've got. Any of the systems of men don't allow you to do that. It's only the assembly of God. Because that assembly is planted, and the responsible brethren in the assembly want to keep it that way. They want to see that liberty given. The freedom. And their capability, they want to see development amongst all brethren. That's what the priesthood is for. The priesthood is that which keeps developing. It's not just one priest, one high priest, not at all. It is a priesthood. And that priesthood is functionable and constantly functioning and ever giving forth more food, as it were, opening up truths and thoughts that are fresh to the other saints. That's a priesthood. And the priesthood, of course, are a worshiping group of men that are offering worship to God. Now, you can sit there in silence in your seat and say, well, I'm worshiping, and the Lord knows what I've got in my heart. That's true. But you see, the Lord wants us to, as a priesthood, a holy priesthood, to function and be a help one to the other. It's a wonderful sitting in the assembly of God, and we should be functioning with the freedom and liberty of such a company. Then it says here, notice the attendance of his ministers. Now, there is such a thing as government in the assembly. Government in the assembly, the administration of his servants. That's an important thing. You know, an assembly isn't a free-for-all. An assembly is where the Spirit of God has raised up men whom the saints look at and say, there's an elder. There's one of the government. He's not appointed by the rest of the brethren. It isn't the whole assembly coming together and saying, well, you know, we think he's a pretty good bookkeeper, and therefore he should be one of the elders. That's taboo, brethren. It's got nothing to do with God's assembly. God's assembly has a government in it, an oversight of brethren that the Spirit of God has raised up and made such men just that. So that's important to remember and keep that before us. We need elders in the assemblies. We need government. We need men to keep things in order. Elders are men who are qualified. Their lives speak forth the fact that they're in fellowship with God, and they look like elders by their work. By their work, by their spiritual demeanor, they're seen as men of God, and all the saints recognize them as such. It isn't because they were voted in. It isn't because they won their approval of certain men. Not at all. Elders are men and such because the Spirit of God has made them that. And I could say much more on it, but the time is going. And we better close off. I got, according to the clock there, 10 minutes. So we'll make it very brief. Now the next thing that I want you to notice here in this verse, we see their apparel and we see the cupbearers. The cupbearers. You know what a cupbearer is, don't you? Again, it comes back to the same thing I've been talking about. A cupbearer who is a man who brings the cup to the king. Now, I would take it that that's relative to the Lord's Supper when we're all gathered and each brother rises, just as this morning. Brother after brother would rise and give to the Lord some of that refreshment, that drink, as it were, that the Lord appreciated. the cupbearers. Now she saw these cupbearers, and she
witnessed to the fact that they were there. So let us always remember such a responsibility. What a solemn time it is. And then she saw their apparel. Now that's another important feature in God's assembly, is the apparel that expresses dignity and splendor of those that are there. Nice to see godly dress. We're living in days not here, thank God. But if you were to walk into some assemblies, you'd get your eyes open and you'd wonder what in the world you've come into by the dress. You'd look at it and you would see characteristics there that speak of the world. And that's sad. That's sad. But the Queen of Sheba, she sees the dress or the apparel of those there. Now we have marvelous apparel, spiritually speaking too, not just literally. But we've got a spiritual dress that is seen in the brethren. And it's good to see our brethren with an exercise of soul. And they're known to be men that have got something that is of godly order, and they're willing to contribute in the assembly just to be a blessing. Now, it might sound as if I'm harping on these things, but I really am not. I think we should appreciate it. Now, notice another thing. In that verse 4, she saw the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. What is that? You walked into Solomon's temple, you would have noticed a round staircase. And it was going up and up and up. It was illustrative of worship. And do you know, brethren, as we worship, we develop and we become more qualified, as it were, more capable of offering worship. What you worship, what you offer today, on the next Lord's Day, it'll just be a little bit better. There'll be a development in your comprehension of divine things and of the Lord Jesus. You will have been feeding upon His Word, and you will see beauties that are far sweeter and more blessed than what you saw last Lord's Day. And you know, the reason why you grow and develop in these things is to offer it back to God. You come to the Lord, and as you worship, you're ascending in a staircase. You're going up and rising more and more in ascent by the way of worship. And God wants men developing constantly in their spiritual values and spiritual appreciation of the Lord. The Lord wants you to be developing and growing and maturing so that you can worship in a more able way. Wonderful to find those priests that were well advanced. Why, what tremendous responsibility they had, because they were capable. Well, brethren, as we feed on the book, you're going to be capable. And this is one thing that the Queen of Sheba saw, took special notice of, was the winding staircase. She saw it as it went up. It speaks of an ascent in worship. And I'd love to hear men able to exalt the Lord Jesus and present them to the Father. For after all, that's what we do at the Lord's Supper, brethren. It's not remembering the day when we got saved. It's not remembering our sins. It's not remembering the experiences we had out there last week. It isn't remembering some of the neighbors and all their problems. All of that may be good, brethren, but that's not why we're at the Lord's Supper. We're at the Lord's Supper to exalt Christ before the Father. And God wants His Son well spoken of, and He wants to hear what you have to say about the Father. He's not interested in what you think about the neighbors, or not interested in what He thinks about what you think about how you got saved, and that's all wonderful. Nothing wrong with it, but brethren, you know there's a development in worship, and it's going up to the Father, an appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Why, it's a wonderful thing just to have that capability to exalt Christ in that way. Now, you know, last of all, I'll just touch on this point, and then we'll close off here. Notice there in that same verse, verse 4, there was no more spirit in her. No more spirit in her. What does that mean? The heart was broken. The heart was broken. She was so moved in her soul when she saw these things. She was broken in contrition, in appreciation for these things that God had brought her into. It must have been a great privilege to come into Solomon's temple. When you think of the remarkable glory and the fashioning of that temple, the gold and the silver and the beauties of the cedar that speaks of strength. And there was the fir tree and the cedar perhaps more aroma and the fir of strength. But she saw all these things in the assembly of God. And so she's broken in her soul. And you know what she says there? In verse 5, she said to the king, it was a true report. It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of all thy acts, of thy wisdom. There was an appreciation in her heart. Now, brethren, I hope that what I've said, I realize there was scrambling thoughts. I'll just point out one other little thing there that I want to touch on. And you all remember this, I'm sure. Let's go back here to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Just one little thing I want to point out to you. Verse 16. I want to touch on this because this is important. It says, we will cut wood out of Lebanon as much as thou shalt need. Now, it's remarkable that wood is cut down, out of Lebanon, where the cedars were, where there were great examples, if I can put it this way, of men who were wonderful to look upon. For after all, cedar expresses the glory and the beauty of the house. Cedar is beautiful, and when you look at it, it strikes you. Now, she saw this wood that was cut down. Now notice, brethren, it was cut down. That means it was severed at the earth level. Do you know that every one of us believers in this company tonight were severed and cut down? The day we got saved, we were severed, cut off from the earth. That's what happened. Our association with the world was finished. We were to be a separated people. We were called out to form a house for God. We were no longer in affiliation with the world and its politics and in its warfare and all the other things that the world has. We've been taken out of the world and separated from it. Militarily, politically, economically, every way you want to look at. We're a people that have been cut off. Our roots have been severed. We're a people that are built to form a house. And after all, that's what the house is need of. It says that, as much as thou shalt need. Now notice another wee thing here. We will bring it to thee how? Notice that. We will bring it to thee in boats by the sea. What is that? Do you not think that that speaks of baptism? Once a person's cut down, they were brought to the edge of the river, or the sea, whatever, and they were put in floats. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever seen logs dropped into the lake, Brother Brooks, he's seen these logs dropped into the lake many a time. Dropped in, and you know they go in under the water. They're submerged. That's the truth of baptism. And that's God's divine order. Submersion. And these logs were severed at the earth and then they were immersed. But there's another thing about them. They were taken in floats to the place where the house was to be built. That's a great point to see. You don't see souls saved and just leave them out there, brethren, in the cold. But you teach them the truth of God, enable them to appreciate what baptism is, and then you see them floating along, if you like. You want to put it that way. You float them along until you come to the place where you can take them up
as it were, and building it in the house.
Now, I appreciate some of these little thoughts. Maybe you don't see much in it, but I see a lot in it. So I'm giving it to you as I see it. And it says, we will bring it to thee in floats by sea to Joppa. Joppa's the place. That's where the house is going to be built. And so it's good to appreciate the house. And he says, thou shalt carry it up to Jerusalem. Well, of course, they came to Joppa and carried it up to Jerusalem.
Now, you know, it's not easy to bring people to the assembly of God. Do you know that? It's a difficulty to get people to value the house of God. One thing you've got good going for you, they've been severed off at the root from the world. And you've seen them baptized. What do you tell them? You tell them, well, look, you're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism to show that that old life is gone and you've raised them up again to walk in newness of life. Now, there's a good start. You've got them on the road and they're learned a little of the truth of what God has done in their lives. And so now you bring them along and you want to build them into the house. It's very difficult to bring people to the house. The assembly of God, brethren, is a place where God's honor dwelleth, and the truth of God must be upheld. You've got to uphold the truth, because the assembly can soon deteriorate and lose the character of a people separated unto the Lord and a people that are outside the camp. It's easy for us to lose that characteristic. But you know, that's God's divine order. That's where God wants His people. That's where there's development. After all, I don't know of any more blessed place than a place where all brethren can participate. Now, I don't believe in just any kind of a function where anybody can get up and say anything you want. But there's an orderly, progressive, mature development in opening up the Word of God. But brethren, we need that capability if you want to see the assembly grow. So may the Lord bless His Word. Suffer the word of exhortation that I've given. If you don't agree with me, brethren, that's fine. I'll not fall out with any of you. I'll still remember you, and I'll still pray for you, and you pray for me. But, brethren, let's go on. There's nothing else in Renz or Avira, wherever you are established. I was saying to Brother Curtis today, I sure like that hall out there. If you're having difficulties here, you've got a good place out there. I guess Brother Brown has part share in it. But whatever, it's a place where God's people could be planted. But we need to be in an assembly, brethren, and maintain assembly order in every district. Forget about these other churches, good and all as they may be. Wonderful to see the Christians in them. Wonderful to see saved people, and we value them all. But brethren, we need to gather them out of man's organization, where men have fashioned an order, and come out where the Lord wants them, where they're under divine control by the Spirit of God. May the Lord bless His Word. Help us to go on for His glory. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we just lift our hearts to Thee. Thou knowest the inconsistencies and incapability that we have of presenting what we desire to give to Thy people. But bless Thy holy Word, Lord. Touch our lives and lead us all along in a pathway that'll bring glory to Thee. May this assembly of God grow and develop. May there be maturity and matured men who will eventually see other men raised up that will go forth in the gospel and in the teaching of the Word to other areas. Hear our cry. Meet our need, Lord. Answer prayer. All in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Thank you for listening to me, for bearing with me, hearing what I had to say. May the Lord bless you.